This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Nick Whalen. He's Jeff Erickson. We are here with you for the next hour, talking plenty of World Cup, talking some news and notes around the general sports world. A couple NFL notes came through earlier this morning. And of course, we are less than 24 hours away from the start of the U.S. Open out at Shinnecock. So great show coming your way over the next 60 minutes. Crazy, crazy day in World Cup action on Tuesday. We'll recap all that to start things out. We'll have our good friend Mike Palm, the man himself from Circa Sports, joining the show, talking some World Cup, giving out some plays for the Wednesday slate, and then Gary Williams stopping by for a full U.S. Open preview. We'll finish things out with Jeff Erickson's MLB card for Wednesday night. As always, make sure you check us out in podcast form. You can find Prop Points. You can find all VSiN shows as podcasts on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. So make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you're checking us out on those mediums. Jeff, we talked on the show yesterday about, you know, what was a relatively underwhelming Monday in the World Cup. We had a bunch of draws, you know, fun games, but a lot of defensive soccer being played. Not the case yesterday. I mean, this was all three of the biggest names in action. Messi, Mbappe, Erling Haaland all had monster games. A hat trick for Messi, two goals apiece for Mbappe and Haaland. We've seen some shifting already in the top goal scorer odds. Mbappe's still your favorite at plus 225. Messi's all the way down now to 3-1. He was hanging around 20-1 coming into that game yesterday. Haaland's at 6-1. Harry Kane, who we'll see this afternoon, is at 8-1. Cristiano Ronaldo, by the way, sitting at 20-1. Portugal, Congo should be starting up any moment now down in Houston. But Jeff, we got to start with Messi, man. I mean, this was pretty unbelievable. They ended up pulling him late in the game around the 80th minute. I mean, I think I probably speak for you and everyone else when I was watching that game thinking, like, leave him in, see if he can get to four. Why not? Yeah. I mean, there were a couple other opportunities that he narrowly converted as well. I mean, it could have been more than three in those 80 minutes.
Yeah, there was an offsides earlier that canceled one scoring opportunity there. Yeah, absolutely. It was so funny, though. I mean, it's just so good to see, you know, he gets that ball on his left foot and it's over. It's just over. And it's really fun to see. That was a great, great start to the tournament for him. Great start for Argentina. Seemed like they had a very home-like crowd in Kansas City there last night. Patrick Mahomes in attendance there. Love seeing that as well. It was a great game. It was just a bananas day. I really loved seeing all the top players kind of stand up there. Although France, it took a while for them to get going. In fact, Mbappe was terrible in the first half of that game. In the first half of that game against Senegal, he had some bad giveaways there. Senegal was really unlucky not to be ahead at halftime, and it turns out they really regretted that there because France turned it on in the second half.
So one of the big storylines coming into the World Cup was, you know, when or I guess if Lionel Messi would break the World Cup scoring record. That feels like it's going to happen. I think it's now a question of how many goals does he rack up the rest of the tournament. So he moves even with Miroslav Klose for all-time World Cup goals scored with 16. For a few hours, Mbappe did move ahead of him on the all-time list. He got to 14 with those two goals in the win over Senegal. But this got me thinking, Jeff. You know, I'm not the biggest soccer guy in the world, but yeah, Messi's 38. Like, this is in all likelihood the last time we'll see him in the World Cup. Although, without he's looking right now, we can't rule it out 4 years from now. But Mbappe's up to 14 goals. He's only 27. He could conceivably play in at least three more World Cups. I mean, are we looking at a scenario where Mbappe could run away with this and we could have a record that feels maybe not untouchable, but one that stands for a very long time?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of funny that because with Messi, you know, 6 years ago, he was talking about never playing for Argentina again. Maybe seven years ago, had a really disappointing World Cup run. I think it was at the Russia World Cup. So, of course, instead, they win in Saudi Arabia. They turn around and do that. But, yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that's in favor of Mbappe is, you know, we've expanded to 48 teams. That's one more round of games that we get there. So it's just an extra chance there to add to his goal total. In addition to the age factor there. So yeah, absolutely. We got Harry Kane going today. He could be eventually high on that list as well. Just a cornucopia of goal scorers there. Really looking forward to it. We're really in a great time. There's so many good strikers in the game.
So with that win last night, Argentina plus 850 to win the World Cup. France remains your betting favorite, plus 380 right now at the DraftKings Sportsbook. We saw Norway take care of business against Iraq. As we mentioned, Erling Haaland added two goals of his own. Norway 30-1 to win the World Cup. They will face France later on in group play. Any takeaways for you in that Norway-Iraq game?
It looked like Iraq had a chance to equalize before the half to make it 2-2, and we would have had a different game. That second goal by Haaland is something that just shouldn't happen in World Cup play. Terrible play by the keeper on that one there. But hey, credit Haaland. He's so much faster than people realize. He gets on balls. He gets on defenders and goalkeepers quicker than you realize. He covers up that ground. So fun to watch him be at the peak of his powers. But Norway, they're a fun team. Very high-scoring team. Not super highly challenged in qualifying play. They did have Italy in their group, but they ran through Italy. Combined 7-1. The rest of their group was pretty weak. So this is a fun test there. You know, the France game is going to be good. I think the Senegal game is going to be good as well. Senegal, I think they really should have, you know, been in closer contention with France had they had the run of play in the first half of that game. I think they could have, if they get that goal up, it's a completely different game the way that one's played. France's quality took over late in that one there, but still, I think Senegal is not to be trifled with. I think they're a good team.
We are underway in the first game of the day, Portugal and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. In the fifth minute, 0-0, Portugal minus 400 on that live money line draw sitting at 4-1. If you want to jump on the Congo, you have 15-1 right now over at DraftKings. So the U.S. Open starts up tomorrow morning. Splash Sports High Stakes U.S. Open Challenge is live. It's $500 to enter for a shot at $100,000 guaranteed. Here's how it works. You just pick six golfers, one from each of six tiers. Your top five scores count. Your worst golfer gets dropped. Lowest score wins. So it's all about finding value across the board, not just stacking the favorites at the top. Multiple entries are allowed, so you could build a few different lineups, increase your shot at that 100K prize. Right now, new players using promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, put that in. Here's what it gets you. 50% deposit match up to $100, a free quick picks entry up to $20, and a 100% quick picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. So go sign up right now over at splashsports.com. Make sure you use that promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Got to be 21 or older to play. Must be present in select states. See site for full rules and details. So let's use this, Jeff, as an opportunity to take a look at some of those tiers and give out some of our initial leans for the U.S. Open. I'm not going to read every name in every tier because it's a long list, but we'll start at the top here. Tier one, who jumps out to you?
So I went with Matt Fitzpatrick here on this one here. I think, you know, he's been the best ball striker on the tour all season long, including especially shots gained approach is where I really stands out for him. The fact that he's coming off a solo second last week at the Canadian Open after just being okay in the middle stretch of the season, did have a T14 at the PGA, but I really like his form for the whole season long. I like him in this tier.
I'm with our guy Len Ockberg and Cam Young. I feel like with each passing month, I gain more and more trust in Cameron Young to show up in these spots. I mean, obviously, it feels like it's anybody's tournament given the conditions. We'll talk a lot more about that with Gary Williams later in the show. He's on the scene out at Shinnecock. My Twitter feed has just been full of weather reports and wondering, you know, would they actually suspend this tournament due to wind, not due to lightning, not due to rain? That's what we're looking at, especially to begin the tournament tomorrow. But Cameron Young, to me, one of the steadier options, especially if you want to go away from Scottie Scheffler, from Rory McIlroy, who are, of course, going to be popular plays in that top tier. Who do you like in tier two, Jeff?
So tier two is tricky because there's a lot of golfers that I like. I settled on Chris Goddard. I think distance off the tee will matter a lot. You know, he has some accuracy issues, but I think in some cases here, this is a very long course for a par 70 course. A lot of long, long par fours. And I think getting distance off the tee is going to be huge. Goddard has that. He has two top 10s, two top 25s in the last four majors he's played, including a 23 at the U.S. Open last year. I know he's not an elite player yet, but I think a breakthrough in that next level in a major could be coming.
So tier three is where it starts to get pretty interesting Jeff, Patrick Reed is my guy in tier three. I'm tired of sitting on the sidelines when Patrick Reed just shows up for these majors. And we talk about kind of the skepticism around him, the personality that he brings, and then he just shows up in games the entire weekend. I think he's the type of guy who's going to embrace these conditions. You know, we've already seen some players kind of come out and give their thoughts, to put it lightly, as far as, you know, what this course is going to look like. I don't think Patrick Reed cares about that. I think he's going to embrace it. And I think getting him in tier three is actually a value here. You're looking at Justin Thomas, though.
I think he's also a value. As Len Hochberg writes in his power rankings, that Thomas is the type of guy that plays well at a course with wide open fairways like this here. He's not the most accurate driver, but he had good form at the PGA and the Players as well. So I think he's a bit of a bargain in this tier.
If we go a little bit deeper, Jeff, we're going six tiers here, so you got to dig deep. You're looking at Justin Rose in tier four, Cam Smith in tier five, Gary Woodland in tier six. Which of those guys was the easiest click for you?
Well, we both have Rose, so I'll let you talk on him. But Gary Woodland had good success in the at Shinnecock in 2018 on a day where it was that nasty Saturday. He actually played well in that tournament 8 years ago.
Yeah, Justin Rose, another guy who feels like he's just in contention at these majors of late. I think a couple of years ago, we had kind of written him off. He'd moved into a different phase of his career. He's found a second win, man. He's found a second win. And I think this is another tournament where he could contend. Jacob Bridgman in tier five, Ricky Fowler in tier six, a couple other names who stuck out to me for the U.S. Open. Again, we'll have Gary Williams joining us later in the show for his picks for a full breakdown of what to expect out at Shinnecock. World Cup talk coming your way next here on Prop Points. Mike Palm from Circa stopping by the show on the Progressive Guest Line. We'll be right back. Let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. I've got something for you that feels almost too good to be true. First, we got to give credit where credit is due. If you're listening to this podcast, you're already leveling up your betting game. You're riding along with our best bets and our top angles. And when there's a good game on, you're probably getting involved with a few props and alt markets too. But there's one more layer if you really want to step things up, and that's VSiN Pro. Yeah, I've mentioned it before, but things are only getting better for our VSiN Pro subscribers. We just rolled out our MLB prop projections, breaking down some of the best edges across strikeouts, hits, home runs, and more. And that's on top of everything else pro subscribers already get, including public betting splits, expert picks, and betting guides across the sports calendar. If you haven't tried it yet, stop sleeping on it. You can get your first month for just $9.99, or better yet, save big with promo code POD26, that's POD26, on an annual subscription. Hit the link in the description and start cashing in with VSiN Pro. All right. Now back to the show.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, it's our good friend Mike Palm. He's the VP of Operations at Circa and the D and Golden State. You can follow him on Twitter at Circa Maestro. And of course, you can just catch him all the time on VSiN. He's everywhere. Mike, fresh off an 8-0 yesterday. Congratulations on that. What was the secret to your success?
Well, Jeff, in almost every sport, I start out trying to make an argument for the under because I find that to be a more relaxing way to sweat a game. I don't care what sport it's in now. All respect to Nick, I can't do that in the NBA where there's 8 million possessions. But in other sports, I'd much rather sweat an under. And I sat down through all four games, and I could not make a case for the under in any of them. And so I said, what the heck? I'll just play all four over. And then I liked Austria, who is the smallest of the favorites. So I made a four-team parlay with the four chalk yesterday. So after we came off of no win Monday when we had four draws, we had four favorites and over on yesterday.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mike, betting unders in the NBA, not a lot of fun. I would not recommend that. There is value in it. It is not a fun sweat rooting against made baskets, especially in the regular season. So looking at today's slate, Mike, we have our first game underway right now. We're about 14 minutes in, Portugal and the Congo. Portugal up 1-0. You landed on Portugal -1.5. So you'll be sweating that one out over the next couple of hours. What led you to that play?
Yeah, it's off to a nice start here. I just don't think, you could have bet Portugal to win to nil, but laid a heavier price here. I just, when you look in general at the African teams, they're very quick, but as I do, I bet the Africa Cup of Nations and all their continental tournaments, you just don't see much scoring of these teams. They really lack finishers. And so with a team like Portugal, who is going to play more of an open style here, I thought there was a better chance that Portugal at a better price was going to score multiple goals than just betting them to win to nil. So it's a good start. I mean, you could monetize it right away when you get a goal this early. You could bet the Congo plus a goal and a half at a huge price. But I like where we're at. We'll see where we're at halftime. I do want to say one thing that I've observed here in this event, and because it's the first time we've ever seen the way that they're administering these hydration breaks. And we've seen it. Since pandemic, really, you've seen hydration breaks in circumstances where you have 80-plus degree weather. But you've never seen it to this extent where they're going to take 2.5 full minutes and they're going to take a commercial and you're going to have the coaches out there with their iPads. I think this totally changes the game. You're giving them a timeout now each half, and I think it boosts the scoring. You see these teams come out of these hydration breaks with new tactics. And I think it actually makes it harder to bet unders here. I'm going to be contradictory when we start talking about England. But I do think this has led to more scoring because now you're able to make adjustments here with the whole team. I mean, I coached soccer for the first time this year as a 7th and 8th grade girls. And my daughter wasn't even on the team, but we had been successful at 3rd and 4th grade in volleyball and basketball. And they asked if I would coach this varsity soccer team just because nobody else wanted to do it. Boy, is that a hard sport to coach. It's really hard to communicate with your players in game. The pitch is so massive, right? So it's very hard to do things on the fly. Really, you always say team want to get to halftime so they can make adjustments. Well, you don't have to now because 22 minutes into each half, you get this 2.5-minute timeout.
So the follow-up to that has to be, are there live betting opportunities here that we should be able to jump on?
You know, I haven't tracked it so I can give you empirical data here, but it would seem, you know, you can bet in 10 and 15-minute stretches whether there's going to be a goal or even a shot on goal. I would say that coming out of these hydration breaks, betting that in the next 10 minutes there'll be a shot on goal or betting that in the next 15 minutes there's going to be a goal has been profitable because certainly to my anecdotal way of, and I've watched every match, this is happening more often than not.
We'll have more from Mike Palm in just a moment, but folks, every week we sit here, we break down the players, we call the shots, we tell you who's going to ball out this summer, and every week a bunch of you are in the replies, absolutely convinced you could do better. Fair enough, but here's your chance to prove it. Today's episode is brought to you by Sport.Fun, a free-to-play fantasy game built around the summer tournament. Pick the players you think are going to deliver, draft your squad, join leagues, compete for a share of over $30,000 in prizes, $30,000 free to play, no catch. If you really want to back yourself, there's a pro version where you can play with real cash, same game, just higher stakes. We've set up an official RotoWire league on the free side, so you can go head-to-head with us and the rest of the viewers, settle this once and for all. Sign up right now. We're at football.fun. Join that RotoWire league and back yourself. Think you can call it better than us? Prove it. Terms and conditions apply. We're chatting with Mike Palm, VP of Operations at the Circa and the D, the Golden Gate at Circa Maestro on Twitter and X. So, Mike, I'm hoping you could give us kind of a peek behind the curtain as far as what we're seeing in terms of betting volume, particularly on Argentina. We know about the popularity of Messi after what he did yesterday. I have to imagine there's been an influx of cash coming in on Argentina.
We've seen Argentina tick down a little bit. I think you also saw some Norway money come in. I bet them at 30-1 before, just because I thought they were really getting ignored on the board here when you have a couple of world-class players and what Haaland can do in the box, how he can change a game. We watch it in the Premier League every year. So not only did we see Argentina money come in last night, we also saw Norway money come in as well at Circa. The betting has been pretty interesting. We've actually seen more action on totals than on sides in these games in terms of betting on the three-way here. I thought we would have got murdered in the USA game on Friday night. But for everybody that bet the USA, we had 3x volume on the under in that game. So we actually came out there. And I went back and looked. We're running about 62-38 in terms of 62% of the handle's been on totals. 38% has been on sides/futures.
How about the game of the day today, Croatia versus England? You know, obviously a lot of interest on the English side here. What do you have in this game, and what sort of volume are you seeing at Circa?
Yeah, this has been one of the more bet upon matches, third most so far. Just slightly ticking ahead of Morocco and Brazil right now as we get closer to the match kicking off, that being behind America number one and the Mexico opener number two. I think playing this game at Jerry World in an indoor stadium is good for England. I mean, we've talked so much about the heat and humidity and travel of this World Cup, but I mean, in New Jersey it was 74 degrees yesterday, right? They're Austria, who plays this tremendously taxing style, gets to play in 68-degree weather in San Francisco at night, right? So it hasn't really manifested itself, and you get an indoor game here. You know, there's been a lot of hand-wringing for people that are big English Premier League fans about the Arsenalification of that league, right? The style that Arteta has used at Arsenal, the style of defend, and try to counter, taking over the league, especially with Pep Guardiola leaving. We saw Jurgen Klopp retire. Is the league going to become more about Arsenal and about set pieces than the free-flowing style of soccer that you might see, like when PSG played Bayern in that 5-4 game? But it's very interesting because this English team, you could argue, is Arsenal with Harry Kane. I mean, Thomas Tuchel, who they hired, we all know if you followed him in Bundesliga and you followed him when he managed in the Premier League, is going to play a very tactical, very slow style of play. If you look at England since Tuchel has taken over, they move the ball up the field the slowest of any of these teams in the field. They allow the least shots on goal of any of the 48 teams, right? It's a very defensive-minded team, which landed me on under 2.5 here in their opener against Croatia, which could be an interesting match. We've seen Croatia be competitive at the highest levels. I just think you look at under angles here. I don't mind under 2 or even taking a shot at under 1.5 plus $2 in this game, because I think goals will be very few and far between.
So a little bit later tonight, Mike, we'll get Ghana and Panama up in Toronto. That's a 7 p.m. Eastern start. What are you looking for in this game?
I haven't placed a bet on this. I'm leaning towards a first half draw. I'm not sure if either of these two teams are going to be really great when you get inside the box. I know Panama is open to get counterattacked, but I don't think if they can slow this game down that there's going to be a lot of scoring. You have to pay a heavy price on the under here. I don't like to lay a big price on an under in a spot like this. So thinking that this is going to be a first half draw and just laying a little bit of juice is probably the way I'm going to play this. But of the four games today, this is the one I have the least of an opinion on.
All right, got about a minute left, Mike. You got the nightcap, Uzbekistan versus Colombia. You have a position on Colombia in this game.
Yeah, I played them first half. Instead of laying, 2.5 to 1 here, you can get them at first half around minus $1.15. That's the way I played Mexico in their first game as well. If you think you have a superior side, I watched this Uzbekistan play in their qualifiers and in a couple of the friendlies. They're really a very pedestrian team, and I thought the Netherlands a week ago Monday when they played that game on Long Island was just trying to keep everybody fresh there. If they would have attacked at all, this Uzbekistan team also very susceptible to giving up penalties. So I took Colombia here, and I don't think Uzbekistan will score tonight either if you want to play Colombia to win to nil. But I think Colombia first half is the way to go in terms of laying the least juice.
I like Colombia a little bit, too, because of where they're playing as well for the tournament. I actually even like them as well. Great stuff, Mike. Appreciate you coming on board. We'll do this again soon. We're going to shift the conversation on Prop Points over to golf. Gary Williams is going to join us. Stick around. This is Prop Points.
Network. You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen from RotoWire here. Joining us on the Progressive Guest Line is Gary Williams. He's the host and executive producer of Five Clubs on the Golf Channel and on SiriusXM. You can follow him on Twitter at GaryWilliams1Up. Of course, you can always catch him here on VSiN the week of a major. He's always live on the scene. Got a great shot of the clubhouse in the background there with us right now. Gary, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. I figured, why not share a little of this 128-year-old clubhouse here at Shinnecock, constructed back in 1892. Hope you guys are well.
Yeah, looking forward to this tournament. And I know I heard you on another podcast earlier talking about how much you love the venue at Shinnecock. Great tournament venue, great majors venue. They played here in 2018. And one of the tricky parts about this is trying to set up this course because the weather's so unpredictable. The course is different than most other courses for majors in the U.S., especially there in terms of a links-style golf course. How is it going to be set up for this tournament?
I'd say the best way for me to kind of explain the way they're going to set it up is it's going to be a progressive setup, meaning now here's the one variable is the weather because of the wind tomorrow. But they are going to be as benevolent as they can be Thursday, Friday, and then kind of, and this is their term, build to a crescendo where the golf course will get, you know, not appreciably, but methodically more challenging as they head to the weekend. But the one thing in history is part of the story here is that this is as hard a golf course to nail the setup because of the turf conditions. They're very temperamental. The wind is so persistent, and it's a totally exposed piece of land. So I think the setup is going to lend itself, if the winds are modest, to scoring that'll be not great, but better than what we've seen, whether it be 2004 or 2018.
So, Gary, it looks like the weather or the wind in particular is going to particularly be a factor to begin the tournament tomorrow. I mean, how have players at large reacted to this? You know, in the past, we've seen some complaining. Some players tend to embrace it. You know, how does that impact how you break down a tournament?
You know, any player that I hear complaining, I generally would eliminate them from my handicapping card. This is the major, more than the other three, that you have to embrace. Not only it is going to be the most difficult examination, it's the hardest setup of the four majors. So look, the wind, everyone's got to deal with it. What the USGA has got to be very careful with is that the height cut of these greens, because if the wind is blowing 25 or 30 miles an hour, the golf course won't be playable because balls are going to be rolling all over the green. They're not going to be able to stop them. So that's a big part of Thursday. But anybody who is complaining is, again, look, they have had issues in the past. And if there is a pin position that's over the line, I understand them voicing, you know, concern or a complaint. But if they're complaining about wind, they have no control over that. What they need to control is the height of the cut. And in particular, on a couple of holes, 7 and 11 have a lot of tilt to them. So I would imagine they're going to raise the cut of the greens on those two holes to try to prevent balls from rolling if the wind is blowing that strongly.
Scottie Scheffler is the betting favorite. It's only 5-1 this time, 4.5, depending on where you look. But that's a more modest set of odds than we've seen at the other majors for Scottie, and frankly, any tournament so far this year. How's he looking in practice rounds here? What do you think his chances are for winning this week?
You know, guys, I spoke to him yesterday, and the one thing about Scheffler is that if you try or attempt to get him to look ahead or reflect about what he's already done, it's a waste of time. He doesn't do that. He's where his feet are. I think he's rightfully the betting favorite because he hasn't won that much yet. He only has the one win this year. He has seven top firsts. Like, he's been incredibly close in a lot of golf tournaments. The one thing that he's off on is his proximity to the hole with his iron play. He's still first on the PGA Tour in greens hitting regulation, so he's hitting more than anybody else as far as having more birdie opportunity. It's just that he's been further from the hole. He's very, very close. And one other thing I would add about comparing him to last year, he didn't win at all until the beginning of May of last year, and then he went on a heater over the course of the summer. So he's got the one win, and again, I'd be the betting favorite, but I think rightfully the other different than what we've seen. His form is leaking a little bit off.
Gary, got to ask you about Brooks Koepka this week. Obviously, he's won the U.S. Open here before, but also dealing with this somewhat mysterious hand injury. It forced him to withdraw last week, but we're not getting a major discount on Koepka. If you look at the betting markets, either the ninth or 10th favorite, depending on what book you're taking a look at. But Is this hand issue enough to scare you away for Brooks Koepka? Have you been able to talk to him at all this week? What should we expect heading into tomorrow?
The way that I looked at Brooks before the hand injury, which I think based on talking to some people who know this subject matter, which I don't, is that it is something that may also be affecting his neck. So I think if it's any other week, he's not playing. So because of his not only having one here, but you guys, I'm sure, have studied this. Look, he has an incredible U.S. Open record, having won it twice. He's only missed one cut in his career, and that was his first U.S. Open, going all the way back to 2012. He had his first top five in a U.S. Open. That was 2014 when he finished tied for fourth at Pinehurst. I would adjust my view of him as far as how I would play him. I was looking at him before the Canadian Open as you know, top five, top 10. Now I'm looking at more as a top 25. His ball striking has been great. His putter has been the temperamental club in his bag. If his putter would cooperate, he doesn't have to have a great putting week to have a week where he could potentially contend. I just think the injury is too much. This is really dense rough. Everyone's going to miss fairways. So I would not beg off of him altogether. I would just alter the way that you would play him and get out of the top 10 and look more at a top 25.
In a similar vein, Matt Fitzpatrick, his ball striking has been phenomenal all season long. Sometimes the putting is a little shaky, especially earlier in the season. Did finish solo second last week at the Canadian Open. Do you like his chances this week at Shinnecock?
I don't like him. I love him. He's 1A for me. I've got somebody just in front of him. But if anybody wanted to make a case for him to be, you know, and again, this is not about the numerical equation of you know, betting odds or favorites. I think that Matt, not only present form, also he loves this challenge. Having won it, this is his only major championship victory, did it at the Country Club in 2022. The other part about Matt is he flights the ball very effectively in winds that you're going to deal with all 4 days. He doesn't launch it straight up in the air like some of the other guys do. And the last thing, he's a great chipper of the golf ball. And even though, you know, his putter can be, he's not a guy who's going to make a bushel full from 15 to 20 feet. He's a very reliable putter from 5 to 8 feet. And so I think Matt Fitzpatrick, if you said pick three guys who you feel most confident can and will win this, he'd be one of those three guys.
Matt Fitzpatrick, 23-1 at DraftKings to win the U.S. Open. So I noticed an elite veteran setup by you there, Gary. You said you like Matt Fitzpatrick, but there's somebody above him in your power rankings this week. Who is it?
Yeah, it's somebody who's got shorter odds than him, and it's Rory. And I'll tell you why with Rory. Rory, if you look at his schedule this year, he's been very particular. I think he is the most rested of any of these guys. You're going, come on, it's only June. Look, this season is more than halfway over. He's played less events, and that is by design. And then secondly, and most importantly, he's evolved as a player. When he won the U.S. Open in 2011, it was all in there, not only because of the setup of Congressional when he won it, because it was a very soft, wet golf course, but also because he's evolved as a player. He can still launch it higher than anybody, but he has got a complete game for the ground game. Balls are going to run out of here. This is going to be firm. It's going to be fast. He has... You know, in golf, Tiger had this. He was in possession of this more than anybody. When you have all nine windows open, up high, left, right, center, mid-flight, and then down low, and then the use of the ground. And then the last thing with Rory, he's become a much more proficient short pitcher and chipper of the golf ball. And you're going to have to do that a lot around here. The guy who wins here is going to miss 20 greens, minimum. So that means you're trying to get up and down on average, five times around. So he's much better in a lot of different departments. And I would add one little caveat to that. I asked him last year why his U.S. Open record has been so good since he missed the cut here in 2018. He was ninth, he was eighth, seventh, fifth, second, second. And then last year, after the haze of winning the Grand Slam, he's still in the top 20, said, it's my ego. I want to prove to people that I didn't just win a U.S. Open on a soft golf course. I want to win another one on a firm, fast, fiery golf course like Shinnecock a year from now. here we are. We're a year later.
Gary, awesome stuff as always. Favorite. You're wonderful. Enjoy the Open. We're going to be back here with our best bets, including U.S. Open bets, here on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the sports betting men hanging out with you. We got some baseball in progress. We, of course, have Portugal and the Democratic Republic of the Congo as our first World Cup game today. We're in the 44th minute down in Houston at NRG Stadium. What a thrill, Jeff, it must be for these guys to play on the same field as CJ Stroud for this opening game. Portugal leading 1-0 again as we approach the half. On the baseball side,
I will say
we have Mets Reds in action. Go ahead.
I love all these like the viral tweets and videos going around about Europeans loving these American stadiums, though. They're like, oh, look how modern this stadium is, how clean it is. Okay, yeah, their NFL stadiums are fine. Some of them are pretty cool, but you know, it's just that there's some that are like rundown stadiums that they're used to. But I think if you played every game in NRG Stadium there, it'd get pretty old pretty quick.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, maybe play a game down at Everbank in Jacksonville, see how the international fans feel about that. Scoreboard update in Major League Baseball. We have actually just hit the end of the fourth now. So heading to the top of the fifth, Mets leading the Reds 3-1. We got the Royals jumping on the Nationals 4-0 in the top of the third. Marlins all over the Phillies early on. We're heading to the bottom of the second there. Andrew Painter already been touched up for 6 runs. Marlins leading that one 6-2. Tigers, Astros, Padres, Cardinals, those games starting up within the next 20 minutes or so. Jeff, let's get some plays on the card for those games for the rest of the baseball slate on this Wednesday. We'll go down to Houston. Casey Mize, Peter Lambert on the hill. This one's very close on the money line. Detroit -112, total coming in at 8.5.
Yeah, this one's interesting here because the Tigers thumped the Astros on Monday. Last night, the Astros bounced back. They got a really good start out of Hunter Brown. It was really good for the Astros to see that. 7 Ks, 5 2/3 innings pitched. Mize is coming off the IL for the Tigers. He was originally with an adductor strain. He was originally scheduled to do so on Sunday, but that Tigers Guardians game got rained out. It's messed up the rotation a little bit there. Peter Lambert, you know, he's coming off of an injury as well. He got hit by a comebacker on the hand last time out. Not a dominant pitcher. 3.47 ERA, 1.21 WHIP, 22.3 K percentage. You're going to see Colt Keith back in the lineup today. He homered thrice on Monday. I'm focusing on Jordan Alvarez, though. Finally, ahead of Bobby Witt Jr. in the betting markets for AL MVP. Took a while, even after the Judge injury. Originally, that Witt was listed as your favorite for the AL MVP, but now Jordan Alvarez is your favorite overall here. I'm going to bet against Mize and the Tigers bullpen being able to hold down Alvarez the entire game. I'm going to go with a over 2.5 hits plus runs plus RBI. You get that at +131 over at DraftKings.
Got the Royals and the Dodgers out west in LA, 3:10 p.m. Eastern first pitch. Dodgers -163 on the money line, total coming in at 7. Rays Dodgers. Shane McClanahan, the lefty, taking on Shohei Ohtani. It's been a fun series, but a competitive series so far. Jeff, what are you doing with the total today?
So I'm just enjoying this pitching matchup. For the second day in a row, we're going to get a really good pitching matchup. Really enjoyed it last night. Robleski against Drew Rasmussen. Rasmussen made one bad pitch. Shohei Ohtani took him deep. 1-0 game. Don't see too many 1-0 games. You know, wouldn't want to see it all the time, but that was a fun one last night. Shane McClanahan's fun. Coming back after missing not one, but 2 seasons. He's only allowed three home runs all season long. Didn't get the win last time out against the Angels. Gave up 4 runs, but it was 7 Ks, 1 walk. Just got a little hit unlucky there. The Dodgers, I think, are attackable against lefties. 106 WRC plus, 24 homers hit against them. And they're going to be without Shohei Ohtani in the lineup. He's going to pitch today, but they're not going to have him hit and pitch at the same time. So his first start also since Ohtani left a game last week against Pittsburgh with a knee injury. Remember, he missed a little time over the weekend with some knee inflammation. letting them focus just on the pitching. I'm going to focus on the pitching as well. I'm going to take the under 7.5. Get that at -124 over at FanDuel. That's the best. I'm going with the better line than the better price on this one here.
Do you want to bet smarter this baseball season? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy leagues, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head over to rotowire.com right now. Put in the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Do that at checkout. You will get 15% off anything we offer at RotoWire. That's rotowire.com, promo code V-S-I-N. Blue Jays, Red Sox in the AL East, Jeff. Max Scherzer, Jake Bennett on the hill. Boston, a slight favorite on the money line. A little bit of a different total here compared to that 7, 7.5 that we're seeing in Rays, Dodgers, up to 9.5 tonight at Fenway.
Yeah, and it's a pitching matchup for the ages in Scherzer versus Bennett. Sadly, we're saying that about Scherzer. It's been a tough row for him this year. He came back last week after about a month and a half absence and got knocked around by the Phillies pretty good. 5 runs in 3 1/3 innings, 2 homers in that one. He's only thrown 22 innings, Nick, and he's allowed 9 homers so far this season. Good for a 10.23 ERA, 1.73 whip. Putting to the test against the Red Sox, this is like the resistible force versus the movable object, unfortunately, here. But I'm going to go with the Red Sox. I know their offense hasn't been great at home. They're just 12-23 at home. I'm still going to attack that Red Sox team total over 4.5, -110 over at DraftKings. I'm also going to go with the player here, Jarren Duran, over 1.5 total bases, +101 on this one here. Nick, we got a scoring update. The Democratic Republic of Congo has just equalized against Portugal, 1-1 in that game in the 50th minute, just before halftime. This has been in extra time right before halftime on this one.
Yeah, there we have it. 1-1 as we are about to head to the half. Give you a quick odds update. Portugal still -215 to win outright. A draw now moving to +225. If you want to jump on the Congo, Jeff, 13-1 is your price right now over at DraftKings. Let's get a few more baseball plays on the board. White Sox Yankees out in New York, 7:05 p.m. Eastern, first pitch. We got a pair of lefties on the hill, Anthony Kay, Carlos Rodon. Yankees big favorites on the money line, total coming in 8.5.
Yeah, and I want to focus on Carlos Rodon here a little bit there. He's come back from this elbow injury, and oftentimes you see velocity come back first, but command and control does not, and that's been the case with Carlos Rodon. 14.7% walk percentage. That's good for 19 walks in 31 innings. The White Sox walk about 10% of the time against left-handers. So I think that all adds up to a pretty good chance of him walking more than 2.5 batters. You get that at +121 over at DraftKings.
Giants Braves down in Atlanta. Robbie Ray on the hill for San Francisco. J.R. Richie back in the rotation for the Braves. Atlanta, a -148 favorite on the money line, total sitting at 9. Anything you're doing with this game?
So a couple things to pay attention to. They're going to complete that suspended game from last night, starting around 2 o'clock Eastern time today. So chances are the bullpens are going to be a little taxed. Perhaps that means, you know, J.R. Richie's going to have to throw a little deeper into this game. I don't want to necessarily, you know, go on outs recorded here. I think that might be something that might be a little tricky here. Instead, I'm just going to go earn runs allowed instead. Richie's filling in the Spencer Strider spot, by the way, in the rotation. You can get over 2.5 earned runs allowed at +107 over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm going to go with that.
So before we hand out some U.S. Open plays to end the show, Jeff, anything for you in Guardians, Brewers, O's, Mariners, Pirates, Athletics?
I'm looking a little bit at the O's Mariners game here. George Kirby back at home. He struck out 10 against the Orioles last time out. It's been a frustrating season for Kirby, but I think the strikeout might be a play here again. It's 6.5 over at DraftKings. Actually, at FanDuel, it's at +120 for 6.5 strikeouts. We're going to go over the over 6.5 strikeouts for George Kirby today.
Get some U.S. Open plays on the board. Round 1 begins tomorrow tomorrow morning, I should say, out at Shinnecock. Jeff, what do you got for us?
I've got two U.S. Open bets for us. Matt Fitzpatrick to win. I got a 30-1 over at Hard Rock. I like the, you know, we had Gary Williams on. He loves Matt Fitzpatrick this week. Great form all season long. If I would probably bet a couple different win bets there if I were going to go bet more wins. I also like Chris Goddard up to finish top 20 plus 450 over at Bet Rivers.
I got a trio of top 10s for you. I will tell you, if you want to parlay these, it gets you 45-1. I would not recommend that, but we are looking at Xander Schauffele, top 10, Cam Young, top 10, and Justin Thomas, top 10. Plus 174 for Xander, plus 180 for Cam Young, plus 450 for JT. We'll give you live updates from the U.S. Open and from the World Cup on tomorrow's show. Money Moves coming your way next here on VSiN. For me, JBT, Anthony DeBundo from The Ringer, stopping by with some World Cup plays. Keep locked here on VSiN. We'll talk to you tomorrow.